Bold Magnificence, Episode 13. Welcome to the Bold Magnificence Podcast. I'm Nat Kharotmetri, and I believe that magnificence is our core nature and our inherent value. When we allow ourselves to live in alignment with our unique version of magnificence, we feel alive and liberated to enjoy the adventure of life. In each episode, you'll learn from amazing entrepreneurs who share what's currently lighting them up and how they're choosing to honor themselves. If you'd like to start living in greater alignment with your core nature, I invite you to listen to the Tuning Into Magnificence guided meditation. Download it at boldmagnificence.com/meditation. My guest today is Jeff Lawton. Jeff is a relationship expert known as your relationship architect. He is also the author of the internationally best-selling books, Building a Conflict-Proof Relationship and Built to Last, Designing and Maintaining a Loving, Lasting, and Passionate Relationship. He's a speaker, retreat leader, and sought-after relationship coach, serving people across the world. For the last 21 years, he's been teaching couples and individuals how to design and build a conscious, extraordinary relationship and life they truly desire. He is also the CEO and lead facilitator of the Evolving Man Men's Awakening work. Let's meet Jeff and find out what's currently lighting him up.
Oh, well, I'd say right now that one of my favorite avenues, as you were just referencing a minute ago, is the Evolving Man organization, helping and working with men to be really living awake, heart or soul driven, and to be, you know, the husbands and the fathers and the mentors and the examples of healthy masculinity. That's just been something that I've cared about for close to 20 years now. And getting to do that with men, and now within our organization, beginning to be able to start establishing men's circles, not only more in my area here in Colorado, but beginning to extend the reach of it across the country, which of course you're very familiar with, and having the opportunity to have men not be limited to being able to get that kind of community and camaraderie and brotherhood and awareness and a chance to really be challenged to live their boldest life. Mm-hmm. You get to be able to expose men around the country to that and make that available to them when there aren't always men's communities in a local area that a man wanting that kind of thing might be able to have. That turns me on. And then I'm also finding that two other areas that are really great, I would say, challenges in the best sense of the word for me living my passion. One is definitely the coaching work I do that you mentioned. And after doing that for so long, I'm finding kind of new ways of doing it, or new parts of myself that are awakening and coming online. And I'm really enjoying getting, kind of making the work new again, because I'm bringing new aspects of me and new tools and things to it that are really, they feed a passion I have for growth and learning. And the third area is that in my own relationship, which I've been in 35 years, and about to celebrate my 32nd wedding anniversary next month, in that's getting reinvented so I'm having I won't say it's always fun, but I'm having a passionate time bringing new passions into my marriage, and the first and foremost of which is getting to be with this woman that I've been with literally over half my life and finding new things about her, about me, that I get to bring to her and that we're bringing to each other that are nice little ingredients to mix in with how deliberate we both are to be sure that we're frequently appreciating and being grateful for what we already have and what we have had, and that we even give a damn about wanting to keep it growing and coming ever more alive.
You live a very full life. I love what you've shared.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
And
definitely. I'm not spending a lot of time twiddling my thumbs, that's for sure.
and congratulations on your upcoming 32nd anniversary.
Thank you very much. Proud
I
accomplishment.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm noticing about what you're sharing that I really appreciate is this idea of awakening parts of ourselves and then how that opens up new doors, possibilities, perspectives, and how that can contribute more to all our relationships, whether it's a life partner or it's with other men. In the men's group or just with your clients. It's all about you discovering more about you and then having the courage to express that and bring that to share with other people.
Yeah, well, thank you for that appreciation. And it's something, I hope that if I ever were to lose that, someone would just either put me out to pasture or shoot me. Because to me, that I used to think when I was younger that maybe I was just too easily bored, and I've really come to see that quite to the contrary. I just love learning and growing, and I don't like standing still for very long in terms of just my own personal and my spiritual development and evolution. And it definitely makes life more vibrant, and that's something that also is a passion of mine, is life be vibrant more often than not.
Right. But and I would say that it's one thing to learn and grow and share what you're learning, and it's a whole other thing to be vulnerable and share the realness of your life with other people. And I think that's knowing you, having worked with you, being in the men's group, that's invaluable to me, because there are people that will share information, and there's benefit there. But there, when we can share of ourselves in a very real, vulnerable way, I think that impacts people even more so.
Well, I hope so. I used to wrestle with that because certainly a lot of the way that therapists and coaches were trained in the past is that you don't do that. No matter what, you don't do that with clients. You're the, kind of completely non-personal black granite kind of reflection for the client. And I don't know, just in the men's work alone, much less the things I've seen and heard over all the years I've been coaching people around relationship, there are very few people that are devoid of suffering. And while I'm in the camp, with the Buddhists that life is suffering anyway. I also like the idea that suffering is optional to the degree that we have any influence over it. And so I feel like that vulnerability, that openness, particular, you know, which I do bring to my coaching, but, you know, with men in particular, I've held for a long time that one of the reasons women tend to live longer than we do is because they'll be open and vulnerable. And the more men I've hung around with over the last 17 years that I've been, you know, working with men, there are so many secrets and so many doubts and fears and confusion that are all suppressing what I believe is an inherent desire on the part of most, if not all men, to want it. Well, really, it's the desire of all humans to just feel free. And the most freedom we get is being authentically who we are. And we don't remember who we are for the most part. And so men have this added burden of, you know, however many decades of conditioning that we have to look like we have our stuff together. And that we can't afford to be vulnerable. We can't afford to be open. We can't afford to admit where we don't have a friggin' clue about what to do about a given situation. And I really, truly, not to be a drama queen, I really do believe that having to hide all that ends up having us live less lengthy lives and less quality lives, irrespective of the length of the life. The quality of being free to just let it all hang out and not really give a damn what other people think about you, not in a nihilistic way, but just to, you're not going to abandon yourself for popular or familial opinion. That's the key to freedom. And when we're freed up, we get more creative. We're able to love more deeply and maybe even more widely. Sex is better. You know, our career, our work is, you know, really infused with all that. So it I don't know any other way to do it at this point. And if I couldn't do it that way, I really wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah. What, you know, and I see that pattern a lot in the women I work with as well that have been impacted by, you know, that conditioning of needing to keep it together and how, you know, taught that emotions are bad, particularly anger, and, you know, how that really leads to depression and just a lack of joy in life. So, I think that the work that you're doing is just so incredible. I'm curious to know what are some of the shifts that you needed to make to get to this point of expressing more of your authentic self?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Great question. So it was definitely one of the most important things I did was to get a cranial rectomotomy. and you know, as you know, none of us can change something or shift. And I'll use shift or transform, because I know, you know, people can have an adverse, oh, you want to change me. And the work I do and what we're talking about here today isn't about like changing a defective, broken person or thing. It's about allowing the organic hardwiring for growth and evolution to happen as unimpededly as possible. So the key things that helped me get to where I am right now, the very first one of which was, you know, finally facing the mountains of denial that I had when I was in my early 30s about how unhappy I was with myself. I had a great wife, great kids. You know, I had the outer picture of success. Good job, good family, all by my early 30s, climbing a corporate ladder. And yet I was really denying the fact that for having this great outside life, I was a workaholic and I weighed close to 300 pounds, which for those, since nobody can see me, is about 100 pounds more than I weigh now. And that wasn't adding up to me as a problem. Something a little incongruent here. God, my life's great, and I'm working 70 hours a week, and I look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. There's something that doesn't fit with that juxtaposition. So I had a physical breakdown that occurred in my early 30s that literally made me an invalid for about a month, and that began waking me up. And then that got healed, and I lost that 100 pounds that I lost. And I looked fabulous, but I wasn't changing anything else or looking anywhere else at what might need to be healed or cleaned up and so forth. And then a series of unanticipated, unpredictable anxiety attacks, not that one would ever predict or want one, they just started happening. And then that was followed by getting so miserable with those anxiety attacks and being even more and more on edge with them, I realized I got to get some help. So, you know, the first thing that I think one has to do to live a really, truly open and vulnerable life is you have to really get to know yourself, and you've got to have the guts to look at all of it. You know, all the great, vibrant, yummy stuff that we all have. But we also have to look at the stuff that, of course, nobody generally is volunteering to look at, which is, and what are my shadows and my dark side, and what's the stuff that I may not even be aware of that I have literally stuffed down that has been having some kind of negative impact on any number of parts of my life. So I went into, you know, several intensive years of doing every kind of transformational work I could get my hands on. Therapy, group work, inner child work. You know, if it had transformation or growth in the title, I was doing it. And I learned so much about myself, like my real self. And in the course of that, also got connected to the fact that since I was a little boy, I loved listening to people, I loved helping people, and that when I was in college, I originally had a plan to be a therapist. I got a little bit distracted from that it was only going to take a year and ended up being 17. And in doing all that inner work, I got reconnected to my passion for helping people. And so that led to, so I guess I'd say another thing is I was willing to follow my heart finally after 17 years of watching my mind lead me down paths that paid well but made me miserable. And so having the guts and the clarity that how I'm doing it, I just can't tolerate or survive with anymore. And I've got to do what I'm passionate about. So I'd say courage was another major, major factor. And then lastly, I'd say the other way that I've gotten to where I am now is I really finally got it into my thick skull that there's not some magic arrival point that if I just do X amount of work and work X hard enough that I'll finally reach some state of wisdom that just allows me to pick my belly button to my dying day and hum along in some nirvanic delusion. There's no end point, at least until our last breath. And some like me believe there's more beyond that, and others don't, which is fine either way. But I just know for me, I keep doing work. I can honestly say that in the last 22 years, I have never been without a mentor, mentors, plural, a coach, different types of coaches, but no one should be coaching that isn't getting coached, in my opinion. So I never stop developing myself. And so that, you know, that and being a parent and a spouse, those two are definitely growth paths. both of those will teach you plenty about yourself. And you know, lastly, a big part of that, as you know, is the also being around men. You know, having circles of men that I lead, but I also have my own circle that I don't lead. I'm just another guy in a men's group. And so I go to my own group to do my personal work with other men. And that keeps me on my toes, you know, in addition to just reading and learning. And in all that work, I just got to see how much freer I felt when I stopped hiding my fear and my insecurity and my doubt and my shame and my guilt. And the more I let it out, the more liberated I got from all of it.
So beautiful. I know going through it probably wasn't as beautiful in the moment, but
no.
You know, looking back, you know, what a beautiful journey. And I so appreciate you sharing your full journey there, because for so many people, they just want to, you know, they just want to snap their fingers and be there, like you said, that magical arrival point. And often the stuff that comes up for us, the anxiety, the breakdowns, are just kind of part of the process of kind of like remodeling a kitchen. You have to go through the demo and you have to, you know, get clear on what is it you really want, but also look at all the stuff and clean it out as well. So, thank you, Jeff, for sharing that. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome.
In the final moments of our interview here, I'd love for you to share a process, a practice that you currently use to help you stay in your magnificence. And before we go there, though, I do want to share with our listeners your website. Could you share what your website is, Jeff?
You bet. It's your relationship. architect.com.
Awesome. And all the...
Sorry, please. And I also want to say that The Evolving Man, for those who might be listening who want to learn more, men or women, because women are hugely influential in getting men to open up to the possibility of doing, you know, men's work. So www.theevolvingman.com is the other website of which I'm very proud.
Wonderful. So what's a practice or a process that you use, Jeff, to help you continue to live in alignment with your most true self?
Well, I'll give you two really quick ones because they really go together for me. Mm-hmm. Hard to really determine what's more valuable than the other. First is that I have at least two friends who I empower to tell me what's great about me that I might not be seeing. And I don't mean that in an ego way, but, you know, when I'm not acknowledging myself, I have two best friends who are pointing out what I don't see, and they also know that they're completely empowered, and they have used that empowerment to point out if I seem to be moving my head back into my nether region that I worked so hard to get it out of all those years ago. And the other one that I have been practicing for a long time, but only in about the last year and a half to 2 years did I get, like, deadly serious that no day can go by without it, and that's meditation. That I have meditated every day, you know, minus a few days here and there, but those are rare. Those used to be the norm rather than the exception. And that practice, it helps me connect to my body and my heart, and I want to live from my heart more than my head. So whether it's 10 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, the deliberate act of giving yourself some period of time before you start getting into your work day and before you start glomming on to all the electronic boobs that we're all so enmeshed with in current society, that you have this quiet time to just be with you, your breath, with any higher power that you may happen to believe in. And as I'm learning, because my spiritual teacher challenged me to up it, you know, to raise the bar. So I used to meditate 20 to 30 minutes a day. Now I'm working towards an hour a day. And I can tell you, even though my mind is going, an hour? Are you crazy? I don't have that kind of time to connect to spirit. What the hell? There's the power of ego. The working towards that hour and achieving an hour a few times in the week since I got that suggestion, I'm noticing it makes a difference in my mood. It makes a difference in my clarity, and it actually gets my day going in an open, connected, loving place, as opposed to what I think it is for a lot of people and used to be every day for me, which was, oh God, here's another one. Hope this one isn't too bad.
Right, so you're really setting the intention for how you want to experience the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And just giving myself to spirit, my word, my belief, giving myself to spirit at the beginning of every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Well, Jeff, it's been such a joy to connect with you in this last 20 or so minutes and learn a lot about you, even though I've worked with you before. And I just wish you so much love and success in your continued ventures.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you. And thanks again for inviting me. Always a treat to get to hang with you, and I love that you're making this podcast available to people.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Bold Magnificence podcast. Show notes for this episode can be found at boldmagnificence.com/013. You can also listen to archives of this show at boldmagnificence.com.